love you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. I glorify your name. Father, I thank you. Your life remains in me, abides in me. And that wasn't enough, Father, that you thought so much about me to fill me with the third person of the Godhead, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for these 6, 7, 8 weeks of teaching, Father. Thank you so much, Father, for the teacher of all teachers. Hallelujah. You can be seated, guys. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. I knew since the beginning that this was not going to be a long-term deal for me. We have something real basic now. Anybody that gets born again, I think these 6 or 7 teachings on sonship can really help anybody. I'm not much with big words. I don't know many big words. I can't even spell big words. So there's a lot of simplicity in these 6 or 7 messages on sonship, and I believe that this might be the final one. There's peace in my heart. I believe something's going to happen in the near future, where I'll be able to press in nothing, where I'll be able to in due season do something with what he's been teaching me and showing me in those hours of intimacy with him. But this has been going on in my heart for a while. I believe this might be the last one. We might continue something at the house with a couple of you guys that are real, real hungry. Someone said today, and I agreed with him just because it was funny. And I hope you can see through this. And I hope if you have a discerning heart, you can discern that I'm telling you the 100% truth. Somebody said, I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be a little bit more convenient for me if we don't have church on Sunday night. And I just laughed. I said, yeah, me too. But you know what? I didn't mean that. I tell you with all my heart, it's a fight and a battle. You don't know what's in my heart. And you might discern what's in my heart. You might discern right and you might discern wrong. But it doesn't matter because I'm telling you right. It's a battle for me to not be here on Fridays to go watch my 2 boys play baseball. It is a battle. It is a battle not being here for Marty and Gay as they do confession. It's a battle for me not being here to be with my family. It's a fight for me not to come here instead of watching my boys. But my boy, one of my boys is a senior. And I still believe I'm going to be able to catch one game with these eyes before he's done. Amen. Then I got another boy coming up that's a freshman. He's got 3 or 4 yet left. I feel bad for him because he's catching me, Nathaniel, now that his big brother's done. I got a freshman that's catching me right in the prime of encountering Jesus. I'm going to have a lot of choices to make in the future. But it's real hard. I can't wait for Wednesdays, man. I can't, listen to me. I can't wait. Church is not a burden to me at all. I mean, at all. I love Sunday mornings. And I love these teachings, but there's a peace inside of me. It says, there's something on the website now that you can direct anybody that just gives their life to Jesus, to 6 or 7 simple, simple teachings that will explain the power of the rebirth from different angles. I was in my prayer closet the other day in here. I needed more quiet time because it was a real special moment between me and the Father. There was worship going on that I couldn't explain. So I called my wife from work. I said, baby, I'm praying here at the house. Just take me to the church. I need to be quiet. I just need to just worship God. And I felt the instruction of the Holy Ghost. So you just take one book with you. And your CD, you take your CD player. You take the CD that has First John in it, and you go over it and over it, and you worship me. When you get tired of going over it, you worship me. And I stayed there for a good while, beholding love, worshiping love, beholding truth. And this was glorious. This was a glorious session. I told my wife, you don't tell nobody where I'm at, because I do not want to be disturbed. And I said, I don't even want you to tell pastor right now. I just want to be left alone. I'm going to cut my phone off. Don't tell nobody where I'm at. And it was glorious, man. Oh, it was glorious. It was glorious. And then when I was done, I called my wife. I said, come pick me up. I'm done. I said to her, come get me, baby. I'm done. So she came and picked me up. But it's incredible. I was in there, just no music. Music is a complete, to me. This isn't my doctrine, to me. Music to me is just a hindrance when it comes to me and the Father. It's just a hindrance to me. Never. I go cold turkey on worship. It's just, I'm making love with my Father, making love to my Father by adoring Him. I don't want nobody else in the room when I'm adoring perfection. Nothing else in there. And when I got done and I closed the door, I was worshiping the Father, and it was so powerful. And First John began to just unveil to me. And as I was beholding the Father, beholding love, I closed the door. And almost immediately out of my spirit, almost immediately, I heard and I felt these words. You've been beholding love. You've been worshiping love. You've been beholding the truth. You've been downloading truth. And I closed the door, and almost instantaneously I heard this voice say, now it's time to exercise that love. See, because real love is performed towards the world. There's some new stuff that I got on 1 John that I had to share it with two people. I haven't even shared it with Pastor Bronk yet. But I knew of one young man, not young man, is Nathan. He's in the person. This young man is remarkable in the Word. And then I called Barry Johnson this morning about this new that, and Carl heard a little bit of it. And he was, amen, Carl. And it is remarkable. And I had to, if I'm going to teach something new, I got to know that those that are handlers of the Word, like these two guys are, I got to know that I'm on. Usually when I, pastor's the first one that I go to, but I knew he was turkey hunting. So I had to call. I couldn't hold it. And Barry Johnson was, oh my God. He said, I got to take a journey back into 1 John. And Nathan said, oh my God, Homer, go with it. And when you teach this, call me. I got to hear it. It was like 4 or 5 days new to me. But I'm not going to teach it yet. The Father said to me, or the Holy Ghost, or somebody said to me, now it's time to exercise what you've been beholding, which is love. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't feel bad if I do not pray. Listen to this now. I don't feel bad if I don't pray on Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it may be. At all, I don't feel bad. We shouldn't feel bad. But I'm at the point where seeking Him is just a daily thing. Well, I don't do it because I have to. I miss Him sometimes. I miss him sometimes. We went out to eat today. I come home and I just said, take me to the church. And I told the Lord, God, I missed you. And I missed you today. And I said, it seems like it's been forever today. But it wasn't. It seemed like it was forever. And I tell you this because I want you to know where he has me right now. Because where he has me is where he wants to have all of us. And I said, I missed you today, Lord. And I said right there, I said, I missed you today. Seems like I haven't told you I love you in forever. That was not the case. I drawled back in my mind. I said, what happened? Why do you feel like you missed him? And then I turned back the pages in my mind. And I had spent really the entire morning since about 1 o'clock in the morning with him. But it was so marvelous. That time goes by so fast. You're beholding love and you're telling them you love him with all your heart, and then you stop. And then I came to church, and then I went with my friends, and I just missed him. I miss knowing that I can love you that much more. I miss beholding 1 John. I miss depositing love in me to love him more. And in loving him more, I could love you more. I'm missing that. That's just a part of my life now. I've fought through a lot of hard times. Emotional times. Times that I didn't know if I was going to make it. And I'm sure emotional times are up, they're up and coming again to me. But these words stick with me. I am to endure hardness as a good soldier, partaking of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, according to that spirit that allows me to be a son of God. My friends, we've been called into sonship. My confession has been, and I say it over and over again, and he's hearing me. And it seems like he's holding me up because he knows it's far more than a confession. He knows it's residing in my heart. He knows my desire. He knows it. And this has been my desire, Lord. I want my will to be. And it seems so real when I talk to him. It seems so real. I said, Lord, I want my will to be. That I don't have a will. That my humanistic will is vanity. That everything that I want is a man, that it be null and void, Father. I don't want an agenda. My will is to only serve you out of my spirit, Father. I don't want to have a carnal will, any appetite in the flesh that I might have, anything that opposes the life of God that's in my spirit. My will is that my will as a human being doesn't exist, that it be vanity, that it be completely done away with, that it be null and void in my life, that I just be consumed in the presence of the King. My confession is this, Lord, if I go home from this earth, if I leave, listen to me. You judge these words inside of you. You judge these words. You judge them. Whether I'm speaking out of my soul or an emotion, or if these words are coming from a place of my spirit, I ask you, my brothers and my sisters, my senior pastor, I ask you to judge these words in your spirit. And I told my wife the other day, certain things are so clear to me. I said, I wish I could explain to you what's happening inside of me, sweetheart. I wish I could explain to you what's going on in my heart. I wish I could explain to you. I wish I could show you what's going on in my heart. I wish I could show you, sweetheart. Well, my prayer is this. My confession is this. If I leave this earth, Lord, I'll be raptured, or I'll be martyred, or I'll go home when I'm done. I have been born into the kingdom for a reason, and that is not to be a mediocre Christian on milk. When I behold the words of love in 1 John and 2 John and in John, they're so real to me. Because with all my heart, all I want to do is please my Father. And in pleasing Him, I want to walk in love towards you. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. And this isn't a passive love. There's certain portions of Scripture that the Holy Ghost has me go through. It's almost a whole chapter that I have memorized because I've gone through 1 John so much so that I will not, Pastor Bronk, you'll like it, so that I will not get caught away in this crazy kind of love where some teachers have gone, where it's an all-inclusive gospel now. You got to be careful. Because love is not sinning. Love isn't sinning. Love is not sinning. And there's certain chapters that he has me go over all throughout the whole day, reminding myself of what love is and what love isn't. It's real hard for me to get mad nowadays. Because his love inside of me, slowly but surely, is being perfected. I just ask you, check your heart, check your motives. What are you striving for? Fame, glory, material things. It's vanity. It's vanity. When these eyes shut down on me, I had just got a great promotion in work with a lot of stability to my family. My wife wouldn't have to work no more. I'd be able to give a lot of money to the church and this and that. A lot of money was going to be paid to me. 2 weeks into the job, my eyes closed on me. And I was worried for about 2 weeks. And then I began to do something that I knew to do. And I can tell you right now, you judge in the spirit. I'm making a fraction of what I used to make. But we have not lacked anything in my house. We have not lacked anything in my house. Nothing. Nothing. Jesus said these words. You judge your motive, you judge your heart today as a son of God. Jesus said these words. You've heard me say them for 6 or 7 weeks. Listen carefully tonight. We're going to add another dimension to this. A new commandment I give unto you. We're going to add to this one now. That ye love one another. Isn't it amazing that Christ is about to be offered up, beaten as a sinner, on his way to hell, back to earth, then ascends into heaven. He's with the 12, and his last instruction, his last physical example that he gives unto them is to wash the feet off of a betrayer, to wash the betrayal off of Judas Iscariot's feet. Isn't that amazing that the last thing that he does? He shows them how to forgive. The man Judas betrayed God for 30 shekels of silver. And he showed them, I know he forgave them also because they denied him. But if you read 13 over and over again, what started this was what Satan having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. He showed them by example as the Son of God, as God in the flesh. Boys, if you're going to go out into the harvest field, If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. All he did was one thing. He washed their feet. But he said, if you know these things, plural, happy are ye if you do them. There was a lot in that foot washing service, my friends. And if that wasn't enough, he said these remarkable words after Judas Iscariot went out of the room. So now I tell you, a new commandment I give unto you, Terry, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. Put yourself in his presence. Close your eyes and picture him in front of you, telling you, giving you this last instruction before he leaves. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, listen to me, we're going to take this a little further today, a little bit more than I've been able to pull out through the Holy Ghost. By this shall all men know, Terry, that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. If you're striving for this microphone, if you're striving for your own ministry, you're several degrees off in your faith and love of Christ Jesus. When you're ready, he will exalt you. Don't worry about it. Pastor Bronk won't miss it. When you're ready, you'll get this mic. Pastor does not hand this mic out loosely, and we cannot blame it, because this revival will be structured on love and on proper doctrine. Not proper doctrine, right doctrine. Correct doctrine. So I'm very careful about what I say. And if I do not feel comfortable about what I say, I said, Pastor Bronk, does this bear witness with you? And he'll tell me, well, you might want to call Gary. I'll call Gary. I said, do not post it on that website till I know that I know through you and through the elders in my life that this is right. But Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. A very critical word there is the word if. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That leads me to believe, Terry, that I got a choice whether to carry out his loving me or not to carry it out. Which side of that word if do you live on, my friend? Do you live on I'm striving to love, or do you live on the side of that word if that doesn't care about people? What side of that word if do you live on? On the side that says I'm striving, I'm eating my bread in silence, I desire you, Father, with all my heart. I desire the brethren. Are you on the other side of the word if, that you go through the motions? You'll come to church for people to think you're okay. Are you striving to love the Father? Are you striving? Are you digging the scriptures? Are you setting that time aside throughout your day, praying in the Spirit? Are you pushing a couple of meals back? Are you confessing the word? What is it? What side of that word if are we on? My friends, I don't fast. I don't fast to get healthy, though getting healthy is a fruit of fasting. I fast because I don't like the potential that my flesh has. I don't fast to get healthy, though you get healthy by fasting. I don't fast so I can carry my little bottle of water in here so everybody knows that I'm fasting. That's not why I do it. I do it because I know what Homer's capable of. So I declare war on my flesh. I don't do the things that we're taught here as a robot, as in a mechanical way. I do these things that we're taught because they bring a change in your life. I don't fellowship with the clock. I don't fellowship with hours. I don't go about to pray a certain amount of hours a day. If praying in tongues is still your righteousness, if you hold praying in tongues as your righteousness, you haven't merely prayed enough hours, if you're still holding on to tongues as your righteousness, we are not special, my friends. Well, I pray 3 or 4 hours a day. If that's your righteousness, you have not prayed enough hours yet, because when you do, you won't take note of those 3 or 4 hours. You won't take note of them. But all that we're done, all that we're taught to do, brings us to a place of loving Him more. And all that I've been taught to do by Pastor Bronk and by Pastor Dave Robertson and by Gary and by those over me in the Spirit, I've took those messages, I've done the message, and I've allowed the things that I'm taught to help me and to assist me to conclude in my life that this life I live in the flesh, it is not my own. It leads me, all that I'm taught to do leads me to believe and want to fulfill the words of Jesus Christ. I want to live on the right side of the word if. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If I have love towards one another. If I have love one to another, which we know walking in love is keeping His commandments that come out of our spirit. Love is nothing more. Love is not an emotion. So by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. If, what side of that word if do you live on? But listen to the amazing thing. He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. If Terry decides, God, I want you. And in wanting you, there's going to be a desire for people that goes right along with wanting the Father. You can't have one without the other. You read the first 5 chapters of the book of Acts. There's no way you can want the Father and not want to break bread and fellowship with your brothers. 2 plus 2 is 4, not 19. You can't tell me how close you are to the brother and you struggle in fellowshipping with him. It doesn't add up. It does not add up. Because you cannot love the Father more without loving the brethren more. You can't. You cannot. But John said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So there's a fruit on living on the certain side of the word if. There's a fruit in loving my brother. There's a fruit. 2 people benefit from me loving the Father, Terry. 2 people benefit from it. First, I benefit from it because as I love my brother, God's love inside of me is being made perfect. There's maturity inside of me. As I love people and keep the commandments of the Father, His love inside of my spirit, it grows, the agape of the Father, it matures more and more and more and more. I benefit from it. You know who else benefits from my agape towards the world? You know who else benefits from it? He gives us the answer in the same verse. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one to another. If I can love you the way Jesus loved me, I'm going to benefit from it because, see, I'm the branch. He's the vine. The branch doesn't provide ingredient and structure and nourishment to the vine. The vine gives that to the branch. So as I love you like He loved me, I benefit from it. But more than me benefiting from that, the world benefits from it. Why? Because he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Well, somebody didn't know something. By this shall all men know. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. I benefit from loving you because I obey his commandments, and his love in me is perfected. But something else happens. He said, by this shall all men know. Well, then, if they're going to know that I'm the disciple of Jesus Christ by how I love, then what does that mean? Before they came to this knowledge, what does that mean? He said, by this shall all men know. One thing is going to qualify the world to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's that I walk in love. So if me loving the world like Jesus loved me, if it benefits me and his love in me is perfected, and the world's going to know that I belong to Jesus, then that means what? If me walking in obedience, it's going to cause the world to know that I am a son of God, that I'm a born-again believer, that I'm a child of God, then what does that mean? By this shall all men know. If my lifestyle, Terry, is one of obedience and love towards the gospel, I benefit from it because God's agape is being perfected in me. He said, and by this, Homer, shall all men know. Well, if my lifestyle and your lifestyle was one of agape, and Jesus said, by this shall all men know, that means what? That they what? That they didn't know before love came. Say, by this shall all men know, by what? The love that you're walking. If I'm walking in love, those that didn't know before, those sinners that have ears to hear and eyes to see, there's only one way that they're going to know that we belong to Jesus. And when they know, you think about this, when they know in the world that Terry, that Barbara, that Pastor, that Emily, when they know that Pastor Bronk is walking in love and they're sinners and they have ears to hear, our love and our obedience is gonna bring him in that didn't know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to the place of knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord by the very love that me and you walk in if we live on that right side of the word. If the world is depending on me and you keeping the commandments of God and loving them, once we walk to that capacity, then the society will know the sinner, the homosexual, the adulterer, the fornicator. They'll come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is by the love that we walk in. If we do not walk in love, we're going to leave a lot of people home because we did not have the guts to go enough into Jesus Christ and to love our brethren like the Lamb of God loved us. So by this shall all men know. The world will know. The Father needs us. He needs us to desire him in worship, to walk in that agape so that the world may know. If they're going to know because of our lifestyle, that means they didn't know before our love. But somebody loved the heathen. Somebody wouldn't sell their testimony. They kept the agape of the Father. So the sinner says, oh my God, I persecuted that man. I talked about him. I started rumors about him. But my God, his faith could not be shaken. I talked about that Gary Flint. I started rumors about him. Every time he saw me, he'd shake my hand. Every time I saw him and I talked about him, I felt shame for my conduct towards him. But when he shook my hand, I felt something. The very man that I persecuted, I felt something. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. My God. I don't know much about this man, Jesus Christ. I know that Gary Flint preaches Jesus Christ. And I know that that man, Gary Flint, preaches love. And I beat him up physically and on Facebook for 3 years. Verbally, I beat him up. I spread rumors about him and his wife throughout the whole town. And every time he seen me, he would not change. I've never believed in this Jesus Christ that Gary Flint talked about. I never believed in him. But this man was unshakable in his faith. In fact, the last 2 or 3 times that I seen him, I started shaking within myself. I don't know what it is, Pastor Flint. Thank you for shaking my hand today. But sir, I've never believed in this Jesus Christ that you preached. But for 3 years, sir, I've talked about you because I hated you. You see, Gary Flint, my mama died when I was young. And I blamed God and I hated God so much. And I resisted him and I hated him. But I heard about you, about your vision for this town, about revival. Let it play, baby. And I hated you because he talked about the love of God and you would even preach that it's not God's will for people to die in car accidents. And every time I heard you, Gary Flint, it made me so mad. So I ridiculed you for 3 years. And I hated this Jesus Christ that you talked about. But for 3 years, I hated you. I started rumors about you. I even had a column in the bulletin where I had to write against you and against your church. I hated you with a passion. But I've seen you 12 or 15 times throughout the last 3 years, Gary Flint. And the last 2 or 3 times that I've seen you, you didn't walk the other way, Gary Flint. You walked towards me. You walked right towards me. You didn't turn your face and look the other way like you didn't see me, Gary Flint. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. I didn't believe in Jesus, Gary Flint. I'm shaking your hand today and I can't explain to you what I feel, Gary Flint. I can't explain to you what I feel like crying. I feel like I need a change. By this shall all men know. See, before them 3 years of that man verbally abusing Gary Flint in the family prayer center, he didn't believe in Jesus. He hated Jesus. But he persecuted Gary Flint for 3 years. But Gary Flint knew the word of God, that the love of the Father abideth forever. So this man that persecuted him for 3 years, all of a sudden, he who didn't know, now by the love of one saint, by the agape and obedience of one saint, that one sinner that didn't know, now because of the love of one saint, now he that didn't know, now he knows. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. You don't think it's worth me and you surrendering our life so that the world may know that we belong to Jesus Christ? I refuse to be an ordinary week-to-week Christian. I would rather die than be an ordinary Christian. I would rather die. We have so much to do with society getting born again. On the contrary, we have everything to do with society wanting to know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave us the perfect. perfect instruction on how to win over a godless, perverted, sinful society. If you have love one to another, you will bear fruit. Because if you love one another, you are abiding in me and my words are abiding in you. And if this is the cause, anything that you ask me for, I will give it you, that my Father may be glorified, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, he said, has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, Harry, Robert. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, because a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made them known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. I planted you in me that you should go and bring forth fruit. If you walk in love, you will bring forth fruit. You don't even really have to labor. If the harvest is white and they're ready, even if they're a sinner, an adulterer, a fornicator, a homosexual, they're waiting for somebody to love them and show them a better way. Are you that Christian that's going to lay down his or her life for the advancement of the kingdom, so that the whole world may know that there is a God and that he sent his Son to be the Savior and the propitiation of the world? Will you be the one that lays it all down, living a crucified life, to win over that one believer that doesn't know, but that wants to know and will know if we walk in agape? The only way the world will know that Jesus Christ is real, it's through our conduct. Our agape, keeping the word of the Father. Jesus said this, and it was so remarkable, because how he asked me to live, he lived. He said that the world, listen to this, same principle, same instruction, that the same way Jesus asked me to live, he lived. He said that the world may know. This is what Jesus said. I believe at the end of John 14, he said that the world may know, Terry, that I love the Father. Listen to this, that the world may know that I love the Father. Now, the same way he asked me to live, he lived. The same exact way. He said that the world may know, that the world may know. What did he tell me and you? By this shall they know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. We keep his commandments, we abide in love. By this the world will know that we belong to Jesus. Jesus lived by the same principle, by the same way instruction that he taught me to live. He lived the same way. He said that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Isn't it amazing? The way that he taught me and you to live is how he lived. He said that the world may know. He said in John 13, and me and you, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. In context, if you keep my commandments, that qualifies you to have love one to another. And when you have love one to another, the world will know that you belong to me. And when they know that you belong to me and that you walk in that agape, if they have ears to hear, even in their sinful state, they will be born again. But Jesus said that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me a commandment, even so I do. Jesus in his humanity, loved of the Father, having the life of the Father in him, received commandments from Christ in his spirit. He said that the world may know that I love my Father, and as my Father gave me a commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. The Father instructed out of his spirit in the Holy Mount through the Holy Ghost. Jesus heard. Jesus did. He said that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me a commandment, the commandment that my Father gave me, I did. That's how the world knew that I loved my Father. They didn't always understand it. He said that the world may know that I love the Father. Jesus proved his love to the world by obeying the word of the Father in his spirit, in his humanity. And he asked me and you to live our lives in him the very same exact way. Which side of that word if, my friend, do you live on? Which side of that word if do you strive and desire to live at? Are you holding on to your ministry in darkness? Are you content to an extent living a roller coaster life in your Christianity? I'm not talking about a Christian with strongholds that's fighting to come out of them. That's not what I'm talking about. But are you content one day on, one day off in Christ? Are you content with that? Have you been there before, Pastor Homer? Yes, I have. Yes. Not anymore. Not anymore. What side of that word if do you live on? People dying and going to hell every day. Because believers do not walk in love. We want to argue on Facebook. We want to articulate, preach, teach with no substance, no agape. We want to badger people with the gospel. Badger, you know, you can tell somebody about Jesus and walk in strife. You can be a hateful person and think by you telling somebody about Jesus that you're fulfilling the love of God. That is heresy. That is not true. We're to love those that we're going to tell about Jesus. Telling them about Jesus is not love, but loving those that we tell about Jesus is love. You can tell the world about Jesus and be filled with strife, envy, and hatred and never accomplish nothing for the Father. On the contrary, he said, if you love, if you abide in my words, you will, Terry, you will, Homer, you will bear fruit. Why? Because you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. He said, I've planted you in myself. I've put a seed in you. And if you live out of that incorruptible seed, if you live out of that new nature through the instruction of the Holy Ghost, if your desire is me, your desire will be people, and you will bear fruit. That's what he's waiting for, my brothers and sisters. He's waiting for me and you to grasp his love so that the whole world may know that Jesus Christ is real. And I know what he's been showing me in the spirit is not just for me to sit here week to week and to not share with my town and my city the joy of serving Jesus Christ. I know that. But I'm waiting patiently for the Holy Ghost to say, son, it's time. Real quick. We did a quinceañera yesterday. Carl was here, right, Carl? I've never had this happen to me in my life. Before I even opened my mouth, I began to weep. My wife doesn't really know. I haven't even had a chance to talk to Pastor Brown about what's been going on in my heart the last week or so. And she said it without me pulling on it. I said, what did you think about the other day? Yesterday. This is the way she phrased it. She said, it's like a compassion came over you. And it went out into the crowd, began to weep. Your people in the front were weeping. The young lady who's quinceañera, she began to weep. It's the presence of God that breaks the yoke of bondage in people's life. It's not words that I articulate. It's His desire that every single one of us in here develop that compassion for His sheep. Come with me, my friends, on this journey. Come with me on this journey. Because once you gave your life to Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, you gave up all rights. You gave up all rights. You gave up your rights. You're one of many begotten now that's to go out into the world and tell somebody about Jesus. The greatest advice my pastor ever gave me, and it stuck to me, and it took me a while to learn, do not say what you know, but say what you hear. You cannot go wrong by saying what you hear. Amen. Somebody hit the bell. We're religious here. Hit the bell again. One more time. Hallelujah. 7 weeks of basic teaching. I pray that out of these 7 or 8 weeks of teaching, that something be stirred up in you to love the Father and to love your brother. Because if we don't want to advance our walk with Christ or love our brother, our Christianity is vanity. But you're here because not one of you think like that. You want what I want. Because I want what my pastor wants. Let's live a life in subjection to each other. Clothed in humility. Let's love each other. And I promise you, if you come Sunday morning, Pastor Bronk, I know you'll be gone. There's going to be something that's going to blow your mind. In 1 John. Amen, Carl? It will blow your mind. I'm going to give you a hint. And it's a sin. I want you to answer it. It's going to take 20 seconds. It has to do with the word beloved, brethren, and brother. This is going to be a simple question. Simple. You know the answer. The word beloved, brethren, and brother. When you hear those three words, what do you think about? Simple answer. What do you think about? What's that? I can't hear you. Believer. Amen. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Hallelujah. That's all I'm going to say. Stand with me, please. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Let's say this together. Say, by this shall all men know. Shall all men know that we belong to Jesus Christ. It's by the love that we walk in. You see, society doesn't know yet because the church does not desire love. But I desire love because I desire the unbeliever that doesn't know. I desire that he know about the saving knowledge and the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, I am accountable. This town is mine. Revival starts in my midst. Revival starts by walking in love. Today is my day, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Guys, God bless you. Thank you so much. Love you. We'll see you Wednesday. All right, guys, God bless you.